Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another episode of DC and Helwani. We've got a great one coming up for all of you. And of course, we're less than 2 weeks away from DC's trilogy fight against Stipe Miocic, UFC 252. Holy smokes. I can't wait. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more on today's pod. So don't go anywhere. But first, I want to share with all of you how excited I am that the NBA is back. I think I've watched at least a portion of every single game. Didn't leave my couch all weekend. Was watching everything back to back. My Raptors killing it on Saturday against the Lakers. The Clippers look great. TJ Warren of the Pacers getting buckets on Saturday night. 53 points. How about the Rockets? DC's Rockets doing big things against the Bucks on Sunday night. Well, anyway, my good friend Brian Windhorst talks about the NBA's exciting restart on today's episode of the Hoop Collective podcast. I've already listened to it. It's a phenomenal listen. Also, the great JJ Redick of your New Orleans Pelicans, he joins Pablo Torre on today's episode of ESPN Daily to talk about what it's been like playing on Disney's campus inside the bubble. A fascinating listen about what it's actually like for the players inside the bubble. Got a lot going on here, my friends, and we're only getting started. So check out the Hoop Collective and ESPN Daily wherever you get your podcasts. As for today's program, as always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Monday, August 3rd, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. And as always, we are presented by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Brewed for those with a fighting spirit. That's DC, Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani. And DC, my man, you look fired up today. You look all hot. Is it because we're less than 2 weeks away from your triumphant return? Is it because we're less than 2 weeks away from UFC 252, the much-anticipated trilogy fight between you and Stipe Miocic? What's going on here?
Yes, and I just feel strong. And I just realized that when Thiago changed the background today, I thought, y'all must have forgot. Because, I mean, y'all must have forgot that I'm nice with these. Y'all must have forgot that this is what I do. This is what I do, though. With, you know, the Roy Jones billboard topping hit, y'all must have forgot, just plays in my head constantly as I get closer to the fight. It's crazy. But, yeah, man, like, you know. Let me just sit some bars for me last week.
The remix. He gave me the remix.
Yeah, and let me tell you something, Ariel. I don't know if I've ever been more engaged than when Roy was rapping. Like, was I've amazing. Watched your show, and I've watched your show religiously now that we're partners in this thing. Mm-hmm. But this had to be, by far, your greatest interview.
By the way, Roy, Thiago, your training partner, switches the photos for you?
Well, he did this week. He goes, D. I want to make different picture this time.
What are you doing, by the way? What exactly are you doing right now?
So you guys, well, ESPN hates natural light. So I don't know what's going on. So I'm taping my curtain to the wall with athletic tape. So I'm trying to keep the natural light out, you know? So, yeah, I'm a one-stop shop for all things entertainment, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, Thiago was like, D, I want to put new picture this week. I said, okay, my brother, it's your last week. Which one you choose? He was like, I want double champion. I said, I'm all for it, baby. Let's go.
Not only does he train with you, he gets you your coffee and
he's the best. But he's the best. He's the nicest guy in the world. And this is his last week. My boy's out of here. 3 months I spent with Thiago Beowulf. I miss him, man, but I'm going to miss him. But you know, like he said, it's life. It's life. You know, life moves and life does this. I will always be Rumble guy. You know, because he never says humble. He says Rumble. Rumble guy. D. You know, you stay.
Wait,
Rumble.
He's not going to Vegas?
He's going to Vegas, but he's out of my house, right? He's been in
when
my house.
When did you go to Vegas?
I leave Sunday, bro.
Oh my God. I can't believe this.
Isn't it crazy? Like, doesn't it feel like it was like a, it felt like it was a year ago yesterday.
And we started this whole journey together. We started this whole journey together. Like March, you're kind of, you know, you're a little heavy set, you know, it's like, and now here we got through the whole training camp and you're actually leaving this Sunday. Wow. This is crazy.
Because, man. So I'm trying to get this one off this time because this one was the one that finished the first fight, right? It was like this. I'm trying to get that one off this time with the left hook, but I got to try to – I make sure I keep the right hand – right elbow tucked. You know, that's what Big George told me. Big George, right elbow tucked, DC, and when that right elbow's tucked, he will leave you openings. And I watched, and I watched, and I watched, and guess what? George is right. There are some openings when he's throwing that body shot.
Interesting. Crazy. Where? Up top?
Can't tell you that. I want to make sure that I save that for next week. Sure, but he's throwing it so hard that he's leaving big openings. Big George
actually broke down tape for
Big
you?
Big George saw it. Mark Henry saw it. Rosendo, they all saw it. They all saw some openings when he's throwing those body shots. Yeah, it's good.
Wow. You know what's so crazy? Like, we started this together. You would in a normal world, you would have actually fought this past Saturday. You know that, right? August 1st.
Yeah, August 1st. That was supposed to
Chase
be the
Center,
date.
Right?
Yep. That was supposed to be the date.
Did August you think 1st. About that at all? Like, man, it would have been over right now.
You know, honestly, when I think about it, I was happy with the extra 2 weeks. You know, any more preparation time, I was just like, I was a fan of it. So it's good. We're getting close. We're getting very, very close. And I can feel it now because I can't think of anything else. I can't hardly sleep. I can't really think of anything else. The only time I'm able to disconnect myself a little bit when I watch the Houston Rockets throw up 63s and make 20 and beat the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, the only thing that brings me joy in this moment is the NBA bubble outside of
it's been amazing.
Preparation.
I mean, it was impressive. When not as impressive as the Raptors Lakers game on Saturday night, but still,
you've been trying to get that in there, like the Raptors. Yeah. I saw it the other day. The Raptors just gave everybody a reminder, you know, we're the champions.
Yeah,
I
must have forgot. Yeah.
I feel honestly, it was more because the Lakers were on this extreme high against the Clippers. It was a come down game. It was a bit of a come down game. You know, you're looking at the Raptors after the battle for LA, and it was a letdown game. That's all that was.
Your Sixers pick is looking really good. That was a really strong pick.
It's looking bad, as expected. Are they even trying?
Well, they're fighting each other on the sidelines. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't. What happened?
Oh yeah. Who is it? Shake Milton and Joel Embiid were fighting on the sidelines. They were getting into an argument. They had to be separated. I mean,
that's gonna be the end of Shake Milton. Like, by Shake Milton, you just literally got you may as well have walked in and requested a trade if you're gonna fight with Joel Embiid. So, bye, Shake.
Hey, I want to ask you a couple of things about the camp. I noticed a couple of interesting faces join the squad. Luke Rockhold back.
Yeah, he's back.
How did that happen?
So Luke was back in last week. You know, doesn't want me to prepare without him. And he came in for the week, and he actually ends up staying for this final week to help and just kind of give me those familiar faces. Kane, you know, obviously Kane's always around. It just feels like the old crew's back together. You know, like it feels good to have the guys around again. Feels good. Nice.
Buchecha as well.
Yeah,
the
Marcus Almeida, Buchecha.
Signing of one championship.
The one signing. He came in last week, and you know, he's been one of the guys that I've grappled with for a really long time. I hadn't been able to grapple with him recently. He was back in town last week, and he's learning to stand up. But also for me, he's most valuable in the jiu-jitsu, and I got some of the best jiu-jitsu I've had in a long time on Thursday with him, and I was completely exhausted grappling with a 13-time world champion and the greatest jiu-jitsu player of all time. So it's been amazing. Corey Anderson gets back today. Anderson gets back into town today. He's here for the last week, that final hard push. We're putting together the best camp possible for this situation.
All of it at your house, all the training?
So we had been going to AKA some. No, Beowulf, please.
Oh, here it is.
There it is.
There's Beowulf, the coffee.
Please, could you come and say bye for Ariel?
Oh, my please gosh. I'm so sad right now.
Please say bye for Ariel because this is the last week.
Hey. Yeah,
I'm leaving.
That's very sad.
Who's going to deliver the coffee on Mondays?
Before was like 3 months, and now Beowulf leaves.
Almost 2 weekends.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for everything. Hey, appreciates you.
Thank you.
Without you, none of this would be possible.
Hey, support Tiago. Support him because what, Ariel?
He supports us. Well, he supports mostly us, you. Mostly you.
But yeah, so Corey's back. We've put together a strong camp, man.
But the training at home, so no AKA, because I always see you at home.
So here's the thing. So we trained at AKA for like a month, right? But then we started, you know, the gyms, it's hard. You know, it's hard with the environment and everything that's going on with the COVID and everything. So it just felt safer to be confined. And then I got a message yesterday. Because I was going to go back to AK and Sparta Day, and we got a message saying that there were some guys that are hoping to get photos, right? Because that's kind of was part of the bigger the issue. When I started going back to AK, there were a lot of people, right, like waiting for photos and autographs. And I love the fans. I do this for the fans. But in this day and age, you know, you never know what can happen with the COVID. And then today, last night, one of the guys that's a great guy that's been around my whole career, gets his photos and everything, he sent us a message saying that there were some people that were going to go, and he knows them, but they had been in contact with people with the COVID.
Oh, no.
So it's very dangerous to it's scary. It's a bit scary, you know, to get to 2 weeks before and then come into contact with someone who has all the best intentions, right? But then the guy has – so these guys, they don't have bad intentions for me. I believe that they just want their photos. But the reality is the photo to them is important. For me, the fight's important, and I need to protect myself.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take photos on August 16th.
Come on. I'm a little bit worried about going to the gym because of this message I received.
Just stay at home. You got a great setup there. Where are these guys from? The people who want the photos. Where are they from? Independence, Ohio? Where are they from, huh? Where are they from?
They came on a mission. Came on a mission to get the boy. But, I don't know, man. I want to go spar at the gym. I do, but I just don't know if that's in the
for nostalgic right reasons or because you feel there's a benefit.
I love being at AK, man. I love the preparation. I love my, you know, but my coaches, hey, every one of my coaches comes to my house. It's not like Javier Mendez isn't going to be there. He comes every time. I got back to, you know, me and Hav trained so good last week, and it was amazing. My wife heard him just yelling at me from the garage as she was all the way on the opposite side of the house. She said, it must have been hard today. She goes, I can hear Hav from the room. I was like, Selena, he was on fire today. Harder, punch. I was like, dang, Hav, you want to relax a little bit? You're going to kill me up in here, man. I'm standing there and it just like exhausted. It was great.
It must have been really loud. I mean, with that palatial estate that you now
reside. Oh, come on. I don't
know. Gilroy, California.
In my bungalow. In my Eskimo hut.
By the way, speaking of the slumming that you're doing over there, I couldn't help but notice on your Instagram, I believe you and the squad, the boys, you guys were watching TV, and I think Corporate Jake has some photos here, which I took for evidence. You have a chair, a box, and then a TV on top of the box. What exactly is going on? How does one of the greatest fighters of all time watch TV with a chair, a box, and a TV on top of the box? What is going on over here?
Okay. Now, you see, so in context.
Yes.
The house that we're at is my old house that I'm about to rent out, right? So it's not the house that my family lives in because of the COVID. So we're having the slum, like not slum, we're having to like live in my old place. So in my old place, it's only guys. It's me and five guys. So aesthetics aren't as important to us. So,
you didn't have a TV stand before? You don't have anything that you have to put up?
So we have two TVs in one room. So on the mantle is a big TV, a 65-inch TV. That's the TV for Tiago's video game. That's where he plays his video games. My TV goes back and forth with me. It's a smaller, right? So I take it upstairs when I go to bed, and I bring it downstairs to play video games when I come to the living room. Well, the best setup was to get that chair with the box, because if we don't put it on the box, we put it just on the chair, it covers that little sensor on the bottom so the remote doesn't work. Put it on the box, and I put my PlayStation on top of one of those little storage bins, and we play video games together, or I could watch the basketball game in the living room while they play video games or while they watch something else. So it's just like it's like a fraternity house. It's kind of embarrassing, you know. So when people go to like, this house is disgusting. What is wrong with you guys? I'm like, we'll clean it before we leave, But right now we play video games. So like Tiago will be on his TV, or Ian, my chef, or Duran, they'll play one TV and I'll play on the other, and we play like co-op video games. The Division, we play NBA 2K, we play Far Cry, we play all these games together. So
yeah. So at the end of the night, you unplug that TV and you walk
upstairs. Unplug it and I walk it upstairs.
It's like, isn't it like a 42-inch TV or something like that?
It's a 55-inch TV, but it's super light. It's super light. Like it's not heavy. And the guys help me, right? So I'll carry it, or Tiago will carry it, or Ian will carry it. Like somebody carries it. And when you bring it upstairs, it goes right back onto another chair in that room because there's no more furniture in there. We took it. We moved. So in that room where I sleep is a bed and a chair with thing to put the TV on.
Not that long ago, you told us when you were in Vegas calling the fights, you bought a TV from one of these stores and then you were going to return it a week later.
It's that TV, yes. I kept it.
You kept
I kept it. I ended up keeping it. Well, you made me feel bad.
Well, I was just going to suggest, why don't you just do that again now? Why don't you just buy a second TV and then you don't have to carry it up and down?
Well, this TV, I can travel everywhere, right? So I can take it. This TV is like now my travel TV. So when we go to Vegas, the TV is going to travel to Vegas with us. It's become a part of the team, you know?
You're going to drive?
No, I'm flying to Vegas.
Yeah, how are you going to send the TV with you?
Well, because we have a lot of stuff. So Cassandra's driving to Vegas. She doesn't want to fly. She's going to drive. And she's going to put the TV in the car and all the bags, right? So all we have to do is just go to – we just have to go to the airport and fly over there.
Stipe Miocic finally emerged. He did some media last week. He spoke to Brett Okamoto. Did you see the interview? And if so, any takeaways from the interview?
I watched it in full yesterday. Scary. He's mad. Stipe is big. He's always mad. Like, when did Stipe become this angry guy? He was so nice before. But now he's like, you know, I think Stipe has turned a switch in his head in regards to me. And that's good. I'm happy. I'm happy that he did something. And sounds like he's training. And sounds like he's doing a lot of the same things that we're doing, right? Like he said, he's got a setup in his garage now or in his basement. And they're doing stuff there just as we're doing. So, I mean, it's exciting. We're in a different time, man. But I feel like we're preparing – him and I both, as thoroughly as anyone could under the circumstances. I think it's going to be a great fight.
Does it annoy you? Like, even in the comments, it's all about the eye pokes. Eye pokes, eye pokes, eye pokes. Like, you've become somehow the eye pokes guy. Does this annoy you?
You know, the reality is I know I'm not doing it to the guy on purpose. Like, I've been trying to fix it, you know, because part of the reason what's happening was that when I'm not as tall as the guys. So when I'm sparring these big guys – sometimes I'll flick out my hand because I'm wearing a 16-ounce glove and I'll kind of hit them, but it'll be like almost slapping them. Mm. But then when you do that with the 4-ounce gloves to extend yourself, there's no fingers cover. There's no finger covers, you know? So, it kind of sucks that all of a sudden I'm this dirty fighter. Like, that's not the case. But the reality is, though, like,
you don't have to worry about that, by the way.
Is it okay?
Make a difference.
Yes, give me permission.
Yes, I give you permission.
Like, this was crazy. Like,
nothing. By the way, I don't see what you're doing. Nothing is changing.
It's this, like,
No. But like, when you go from one setting to the next, nothing's changing. No, it's just you talking away from the microphone.
So,
ooh, the hair's looking nice, huh? Wow.
Yeah, saw that for a second. Have you seen the back lately?
No,
the back is just crazy, bro. It's like my male pattern baldness. I mean, I can lift the computer.
Well, just turn around.
Look at this.
Oh, here we go.
Oh my God. It's bad, dog. Look at that. What happened?
You're 41.
Like, what happened? It's so crazy.
When you look down like this and just look up with your hair, you really do look like Carl Winslow. Like, you look exactly like Carl Winslow. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay,
so like that's not a freaking compliment, dude. Like, what are you talking about? Like, seriously.
Who's gonna cut it? And when are you gonna cut it?
Probably before the fight, you know, I'll probably get something done to it. You know, I might even do that island thing before the fight instead of cutting it bald again. I don't know. Like, maybe I should. I mean, if we're doing it like the last ride, might as well.
That's right.
Hey, can my hair have made it all the way to the end of my career? That's a hope. That's an achievement in itself. Back to the eye poke thing. Like, it's frustrating. You know, I fought as hard as I can, and I don't want to stick Stipe Miocic in the eye. I really don't. Like, it is what it is, though. You know, like, that's something for people to hold on to. And look, man, it's easy to try to find fault in a guy that hasn't given you much reason to fault him. You know, like, So you harbor on the towel and you harbor on me poking Stipe in the eye, you know, because what else are you going to do? You know, so if there's a negative, people hang on to the negative, and that's what they're doing right now. So it is what it is.
He didn't like the wrestling shoes comment, I think.
Yeah, you know, he said, I thought we were fighting, you know, it's a wrestling match. But the reality is I can fight him. You know, I can fight him. You know, if this is a 25-minute stand-up fight, I have all the ability to beat him in that. You know, the first fight was a 5-minute stand-up fight, and we were tit for tat. The second fight was a 20-minute stand-up fight, and until the very end, we were tit for tat, if not me winning the fight the majority of the time. So I have the ability to stand with this guy. So there's no part of me that's afraid of Stipe Miocic in any way, shape, or form, even though he won the last fight. Like, I still feel like I'm going to beat him, and I'm going to beat him going away.
Is there any part of you, last thing on all this, I'm just curious, like, you're like, man, this is the last Monday doing this, or this is the last, like, not only for this fight, this rivalry of your athletic career, a career that spans multiple decades. Like, do you get nostalgic at all about any of this throughout the process, or are you so focused on the fight?
I do think about it. I do think about it. You know, like, I think about the fact that I've spent my entire life competing, right? Like, since I was 15 years old, was the first time I wrestled in an international competition, right? So for 26 years, I've competed at the highest level of sport. You do think about it. But the reality is I've got so much on my plate that I'm going to be fine. I thought my life would change last year when I lost the belt. I mean, for 4 years, I was a UFC champion. And so I was fearful that my life would look different, and it doesn't. You know, you got to think now, I'm more in tune with myself away from that championship, but I'm also more connected to projects than I've ever been in my life. You know, from our show to...
Well, you got 85 jobs now. You just announced another one with EA.
Yeah,
that's how many jobs do you actually have? Like, you have legit like 9-10 jobs. It's crazy.
Well, I'm lucky, Ariel, right? Like, I've got my commentary on the EA Sports game. I've got my commentary in my fighting career. I've got our show, which is number one.
I mean, well, I've got said detail. It was the third thing that you said, but fine.
I've got detail. I've got the EA Sports ratings adjuster. Look, people can fault you and say things about you, about you're this and the other, but the reality is people find value in working with me, and I'm just lucky. So hate all you want.
Hey, can you be unbiased though with that ratings thing? I mean, like, what if it comes to, you know, some of your
rivals?
Own... Yes.
You know, there's a new rating system in EA Sports. You know, and one of my rivals is going to be as highly rated as you possibly can be.
Who, Volkan?
I like Volkan. I'm not going to be in here doing what you do. I just about insulted him, what? But then I stopped because I'm not going to play your game. Like, you always try to do that to me. You try to drag me down, you little scum, that little dirty. You try to drag me on that dirty little road that you like to do. I'm not going to roll in the garbage with you and insult fighters.
Okay, all right. I still can't believe your fight is happening in a small cage. Like, I was watching on Saturday, and it hit me. I was like, that cage is so small. And, you know, by the way, the stats, there's a young man, a reporter on Twitter, Scott Fontana is his name, and he did a breakdown of the finishes from the small cage to the big cage from, like, the June fights to the July fights, right? It's not that big of a difference.
No.
The stats would suggest it's not that big of a difference, but aesthetically, it just seems so tiny. Like, you guys are actually going to be fighting in a tiny cage.
Well, Stipe's going to be taller. Like, he's going to be so much taller than the cage. It's going to look odd. But, you know, it is what it is, man. Look, man, you just go fight. Like, you just go fight. I'm ready to just go fight. You know, I'm ready to go fight this dude and go put this dude in the rearview mirror. That's it. Like, we can fight in a small cage. We can fight in the back. We can fight wherever. We can fight wherever. Let's just go get it done and put this 3-year thing behind us. Like, it's been 3 years since Stipe and I have been preparing for each other. So I'm ready to go put this behind me and move forward into my life. And hopefully there are more jobs to come when fighting's done.
Speaking of that small cage and on Saturday, let's transition to what happened. A couple big things happened. How about Derek Brunson? Wow. Everyone's sleeping on old Derek Brunson, calling him a gatekeeper, a stepping stone. And he just, I mean, first round a little slow, but then end of the second round, you can make a case that fight should have been stopped. And then certainly in the third round, he made it, you know, very apparent that he was the better man that night and beat him up and beat up Edmund Shahbazyan to the point where the referee had to stop it via TKO. How impressed were you with Derek Brunson? And let me also ask you this. Did the UFC make a mistake in hindsight? You know, hindsight being 2020, was it too soon for Edmund Shahbazyan to fight a guy like Derek Brunson?
I was very impressed with Derek. You know, I think a lot of the general public felt like, okay, Derek's in this role now where he takes on these young up-and-coming guys and they go past him and they just kind of go forward. But the reality is he's not accepting that. That was Ian Heinisch a year ago, right? Mm. That was Ian Heinisch in UFC 241. He was the guy. He was big. He was powerful. He looked good. He was the guy that was supposed to be the next star. Derek put him back. And now Derek has won 3 fights in a row and he's looking better every time. You look at Derek Brunson, and there was a graphic up on ESPN MMA, and it was the people that he's fought. And it's insane, the murderer's row of guys that Derek Brunson has been in the octagon with. So when these young guys get an opportunity to beat him and propel themselves into those fights, you have to understand that you're fighting a guy that's seen the very best that mixed martial arts has to offer. So if you're not one of the best, he is going to beat you. And he did it to Edmund Shahbazyan. And he withstood the first round, which wasn't awful. It was just close. But then by the second round, you could tell that he was going to run away with the fight. And at the end of the second round, I thought the fight was about to be stopped. It looked like Herb was in there about to stop the fight. And it's crazy because of all the late stoppage controversy a couple weeks prior, that at the end of the second round, Herb looked like he wanted to stop the fight and the time just ran out. Shahbazyan was done. He looked like he was knocked out. But then right as the third round started, the moment he started to take damage, Herb knew, you could tell by his body language. And that's why he's one of the best officials in the game, right? Because he can read Shahbazyan's body language and see, I don't think this kid wants to be here. And the fight was stopped justly. Wasn't too fast, though. It wasn't too fast. He was number 9 in the world. Derek Brunson's number 8 in the world. That's how it works. It's sink or swim. You know, in our game, you get a chance to fight and beat people and build your resume. But ultimately, by building your resume, you put yourself in line for those types of fights. And we see it. Ariel, I've always said this. Tale as old as time, right? That old fairy tale thing, right? The princess is from Disney. It's always going to be that. The veteran has to fight the young guy for the young guy to go to where he needs to be. We've all done it. We've all done it. And it just wasn't Shahbazyan's time. But that's exactly what needed to happen. You always find yourself in those spots. I did it. I fought Josh Barnett, right, to go to the next level. I fought Frank Mir to go to the next level. It's always when you're the prospect, you got to beat somebody to get to that next level. And so it wasn't too quick. It was exactly what needed to happen because who else is he supposed to fight?
And once again, someone with bleach blonde hair wins. I don't know what's going on. We saw with Davison Figueroa. I mean, everyone with the bleach blonde hair.
I can't believe you. Like, you're making these. Like, I don't understand where you're drawing these conclusions from. Like, what? Now it's a blonde hair thing.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like it just seems like a trend. But no, I don't believe it was too soon. It was the natural next step for Edmund.
Yep.
As you said, rankings wise, but also, you know, he like Brad Tavares, Derek Brunson, right? It just made all the sense in the world. And he stumbled. And I don't think that, you know, we should give up on the guy. I don't think that he's a bust. He's only 22. He was 11-0.
Young.
Last 3 fights ended via first round finish. He'll be around. I mean, Derek Brunson was knocked down in the first round by Robert Whittaker and Israel Adesanya in a similar spot, although Edmund was a little younger than those guys when they fought. And in this case, Derek righted the wrong. And also, let's give a shout out to Henry Hooft, who ever since, you know, Derek linked up with him down in South Florida at Sanford MMA, he's on this 3-fight winning streak. So something good is happening over there for
those guys are building some real momentum down there, because Vicente Luque looked fantastic too.
Gilbert
right.
They're Burns
building
recently,
Gilbert
right?
Burns looks phenomenal. Like, those guys have some real momentum going down there. But Derek Brunson, you're right. Like, and again, as I was talking to, it's a natural progression, right? Israel Adesanya beat I don't know who he beat right before Derek, but I remember UFC 230 in Madison Square Garden. It was like that moment, right?
Brad Tavares.
It was Brad, right? It was Brad Tavares. Yeah. So it was like, is Adesanya real? You know, like, is he going to be able to get past that guy that's for a long time been in the mix? And he put Derek out, you know, and Robert Whittaker on his way to becoming the champion, fought Derek Brunson. So it was like, is Edmund Shahbazyan one of those guys that we can view as a future champ? And Derek just put him in his place. But the reality is, it's very dangerous when you start to view a guy like Derek Brunson as a gatekeeper because he's so good and he's so tough. And when he was losing those fights to those guys, he was training with his homeboys at his house or at his gym. Now he's got a real team at Safford MMA, and those guys are doing real well.
Yeah, I'm curious what they do with him next because I don't know if you saw this, but they announced that Robert Whittaker is going to fight Jared Cannonier. So that's a really important fight. They're not going with Robert versus Jack Hermanson. Hermanson and Darren Till are playing footsie with each other, but Till might be out for quite some time with the torn MCL. So maybe you do Jack Hermanson versus Derek Brunson, right?
You do Hermanson. I think you could do Hermanson Brunson, but the reality is Derek's going to have to sustain a win streak a little. If he's trying to get to a title shot, right, something that's evading him this whole time, he'll have to get through a guy like Jack Hermanson, but he's going to have to do another one. Right, he's going to have to put together five, six in a row because the winner of Jared and Robert is going to fight for the title. And I'm telling you, man, the way Jared Cannonier has looked since going to middleweight, it's scary how good he has looked.
But it will be a year since his last fight by the time he fights. Man. Plus, he had the torn pec. Have you ever torn your pec?
No. No, but I had one of my friends tear his pec. And it makes your chest like it, almost half of it is gone.
Yeah.
Right? Like almost half of your muscles gone. It shortens everything. Good fight. I'm excited about it. It's a great fight. The middleweight division is on fire right now, and I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon.
All right. Let's also talk about Joanne Calderwood. I have to admit, DC, my heart broke for JoJo. She rolled the dice. She wanted to be active. She said thanks, but no thanks to the title shot. And in the end, she got beat up on the feet. She was getting beat up. And then on the ground with the arm bar, she loses via first round arm bar to Jennifer Maia. Give Jennifer all the respect in the world. She won that fight fair and square, but I really felt bad for Joanne. And then we found out afterwards she fainted in the back and she was sent to the hospital, but she's doing better now. She's back home. Don't have an official word as to what happened, but Joanne's one of the nicest, sweetest people you'll ever meet. And I really felt bad for her on Saturday.
I love her impressions are fire. Those impressions she did were great. Here's the problem, right? So here's the problem. When you're a fighter, like most fighters, and you're sitting in the middle of a pandemic, right? And you're promised a title shot, but the champion's hurt. You're not making so much money that you're going to just be waiting around. Like if there's an opportunity, go get paid. You go get paid. And unfortunately, in this instance, it didn't work, you know, and it's sad for Joanne Calderwood, but her saving grace is going to be that 125 isn't the deepest division. So if she can couple a win together, she may find herself right back in that position. It's always hard when that happens, right? Someone says, I'm a fighter, I want to fight, when they're promised a title shot. But the reality is, what are you going to do? You know, you got to go and make money. And she went to make money. And unfortunately, it didn't work. But we all four fighters, we gamble on ourselves a lot of times. And you just hope that it goes well.
Yeah, I heard her arm is a little messed up. So obviously, she hung on as much as possible. Tough situation for her. Afterwards, Valentina Shevchenko tweets, I'll see you soon, Jennifer Maia. And it sounded like Dana White was interested in that fight. Obviously, slim pickings at 125.
Yeah.
Cynthia Calvillo's out there as well. I suggested that Maia fight Calvillo to determine the number one contender, but it sounds like the UFC is interested in that. And I spoke to Shevchenko, by the way, on Saturday night. She told me she's back to full-time training after the knee surgery, and she's hoping to return in November. Does Jennifer Maia have a chance against Valentina Shevchenko, in your opinion?
Well, that's what I was about to tell you. I was like, you win all you want at 125. Here are your prize. You get to fight Valentina Shevchenko. Like, dude, so crazy. It's like watching her and Amanda Nunes just buzz through people. It's insane. And Jennifer Maia is tough. She showed a lot of ability in a short time on Saturday. But I just don't know who can compete with Valentina right now. I think you have to be – for me, I think you have to be a phenomenal wrestler and grappler to get Valentina where she has to fight on the ground for a long time. You got to extend the grappling exchanges if you want a chance to get Valentina because she's so good in the stand-up. She fought Amanda Nunes for 10 rounds and never looked out of her element. You know, that's how good she is in terms of striking. So you got to be a great grappler with an ability to take her down and keep her down. I don't know if Jennifer Maia is that person.
Yeah. I think the gap between Shevchenko and the rest of the weight class is the biggest gap maybe that we've ever seen in the UFC, even bigger than DJ and the flyweights back in the day.
Amanda Nunes in 145.
I mean, there's like three people at 145.
But so that doesn't really matter, though. Like,
there's like literally two people. But
Ariel, when we watched Felicia Spencer, and it looked like a sparring session.
Yeah, but we just had Cyborg there not that long ago. And I know she steamrolled right through her, but there wasn't a big gap between Nunes and Cyborg.
Yes, no, there wasn't a big gap between Cyborg and Amanda. But, like, I mean, Amanda could fight. That's why when I listened to Amanda, somebody said that she might think about retiring. Yeah. Why would you ever consider retirement when you can literally go out there and spar for 25 minutes if you want it to be a sparring session, get paid $1 million, and just go home to your family?
I hope she's getting paid $1 million.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, she's probably doing well. I mean, you got to imagine she's doing well at this point. But she can just beat everybody up. I would never retire if I was Amanda Nunes. I'd fight till I was 40 years old. I'd fight till I was as old as DC if I was Amanda Nunes, if you're making money like that and going through people in the way that she has been.
So we'll see what happens. By the way, speaking of people who fainted, what a weird night that was.
What was up with that? That's kind of scary, actually. Yeah. That's actually kind of scary. Like, what's going on in the building where Trevin Giles faints and then Joanne Calderwood does the same thing? Like, what's going on in this? You know, what's going on? Like, it's kind of scary a little bit.
It is scary. And plus all the other cancellations leading up. We had Mershad test positive on Saturday as well. Giles apparently doing better. They're trying to get Kevin Holland another fight this weekend. But, yeah, that was a weird one. I saw some people saying it was, like, the most cursed event. UFC 223 forever will be the most cursed event in UFC history. That was the one with the Dolly in Brooklyn, and then everyone started pulling out, Chiesa and Ray Borg and the Max Holloway situation. That will be the craziest 48 hours in UFC history, but this one was certainly close. Actually, we're going to talk about someone involved in that card in a second, but for now, let me tell you, DC, about our good friends over at Modelo. And how about our guy, Robert? Actually, it's Pearson. I've been mispronouncing his name. It's Robert Pearson who put out that.
Come on. We can't change the guy's name every week. Robert Pearson.
It was Robert.
All it was Roberts Pearson. And now it's Roberts Pearson.
No, I don't think it's ever been Roberts. I think the S.
He told me himself it's Roberts. We had this discussion before. What are you talking about?
Anyway.
So now it's Roberts Pearson. Like, come
I think
on,
so.
Man.
I think so. Someone in the comments.
So you think because his name is spelled P-E-A-R, it's Pear instead of Pearson? So.
I need to ask him to send me like one of those audio messages.
Like the UFC does?
Or that, yeah, that's great. I love those.
Remember we used to get those? The UFC would send us.
You don't get them anymore? I still get them.
Kelvin Gastelum. Yeah. Hey, wait. Kelvin Gastelum. I was like, so your name's Gastelum now? Is that Kelvin Gastelum? What?
The best is when it's like a super easy name, like Scott Smith. Say it again slowly. Scott
Smith. Kelvin Gastelum.
Yeah.
When did your name change, Kelvin? I know your name. Kamaru Usman. I'm like, okay, dude, come on. Man. We understand your name at this point. Francis Ngannou. Francis Ngannou. I was like, wow. Hey, Francis Ngannou.
I feel like there's only 10 people on the planet that get this joke, but it's so great because that's really how they do it. Basically, they send out
these
emails.
Yo, look how much I'm sweating, bro.
Why are you sweating so much? You're just having a good time?
Francis Ninga.
Hey, don't be joking about Francis. You'll be fighting him in December, all right? When they throw like you. They're going to like back up the Brinks truck and offer you $15 million to fight old Francis.
Let me tell you something. For me to be fighting Francis Ninganu.
You want nothing to do with the guy.
I mean, I'm not afraid, but it's like, come on, man. I done went to Brooklyn. The crowd gave me the standing ovation as I walked off the court for the last time. I'm waving. I was in the Staples Center. I'm waving walk up. You know, I'm doing the whole farewell tour. Kobe. I'm like every gym, every arena I go to, they're like, bye, DC. We love you. You know, curtain call. I'm exchanging jerseys, which is now illegal in the NFL, which is crazy. Yeah. I'm exchanging jerseys with players. I'm good. And now you're trying to bring me in back. Every time I'm out, they Pull me back in to fight Francis Ngannou. Come on, man.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, also, I wanted to tell you, I don't know if you're still with us here. What exactly are you doing right now? Like, what could possibly be more important than our show right now?
I'm trying. So I was just got a text from Kane about practicing. You know, he's like, I'm going to be at the gym today. You know, I was like, I know. I was like, well, I just got this message. I'm probably going to stay at home today. So I'm just trying to figure out my training situation while you were reading the Modelo read, you know. Support them. Support them because
they support us.
They support us. They always have.
Are you trying to say you need me?
Listen, I'll punch you in your stomach faster than Stipe Miocic is going to try to punch me in my stomach.
Do you think I would go down after one punch?
I know you can't take a body shot. I am certain you can't.
Just one punch. That's all it takes.
One body shot. Just one body shot. Right uppercut, right to the sternum. Oof. Just dig it in there as deep as I possibly can. You'd go down right on your stomach, face down, just boom.
All right,
you know, honestly, I've got this weird like desire to punch you in the stomach now.
Wow!
Can I punch you in the stomach one time whenever we're together next?
Maybe, if just this show like, becomes a real thing.
Like, but just like you stand there, hands up, like hands you know, how Francis. You know, how Francis Ngannou's not doing this.
Yeah, but he's taking
thing?
It from like a flyweight.
Yeah, but so
I'm
let
doing
me
the opposite
you,
here.
Let me just get you with one. Just like I'll do, you know, do this little twist. Yeah. And then I'll boom.
And then I get one back. I get one back.
You can have as many as you want. you can have as many as you want. If I can get one, I'll give you three to every, five to every one.
Okay. We'll think about it if this show becomes a real thing. Now, big news last week after we were done our show, your boy's back. Khabib is back. Yes. 2 weeks ago, you're telling us he may never come back, and now he's back October 24th against Justin Gaethje. And not only is he back, he's laid it out. He said October, Justin Gaethje, April, George St. Pierre.
And then what? So wait, is that it?
And then he said, that's it. He told Dana White he wants to end with George St. Pierre 30-0. So what's going on? What are your thoughts here? We know you got the scoop. Spill the beans.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything.
They muzzled you?
You know, he's going to fight, ready to go. I mean, Javier's on his way to Russia after my fight's done. Hob's going out there to train him and get him ready. You know, this dude.
So no AKA this time.
Well, the gym's all messed up, right? And can they even get into the country to train here? You know, it's a mess. You know, it's better for him to be in training in Russia, and he'll be fine. You know, he knows how to train. Everybody's making changes, but it feels good to know that the champ's coming back, and he's excited. You know, I've been talking to him. Dude's getting ready. He's always training, but more concerned about how things are going here for us. You know, as he starts to get himself ready for his fight. But it's massive. I think this is a very dangerous fight. This is the most dangerous fight in the division. And I'm excited that he's going to be back sooner than later to defend his championship.
Are you surprised that he's coming back in October?
Yeah, you know, because, you know, I thought he would be a little bit longer. But the reality is, you know, we find motivation in different ways. Maybe he wants to honor his father through performance. You know, you watch, like we talked about, you know, you watch his dad's reaction to him beating Dustin Poirier. It was like he was filled with joy, and he can go and represent and honor his father's memory by going out there and competing. It's a big thing. I'm happy for him. I always call him my champion, our champion, you know, because he's the only champ at AKA right now, you know. So we're excited that our champion gets to go fight again.
Massive fight. I you know, people mistake this for disrespect, but it's not. I've called Khabib the most dominant fighter in the history of the sport, certainly the history of the UFC. 20-0, 12-0 inside the octagon, only lost one round officially. That was round three to Conor McGregor, of course. But I think Justin Gaethje, this version of Justin Gaethje, will be his toughest test to date, considering his wrestling, his takedown defense, and considering his striking and how hard he hits. If Justin Gaethje is on point, I'm not ultimately saying Justin wins because I have that much respect for Khabib the fighter, but I think he will give Khabib the most fits. And if he could somehow, and I know it's like an impossible thing, but somehow keep this fight standing, look out.
Yeah, good luck with that. Like, there's not a person.
You don't even think
There's not a person between 155 and 185 that could keep the fight standing with that dude. And okay, I'm being serious.
Well, now you've just lied to the public.
No, I'm being serious.
Because there is one person residing in Saint-Isidore, Quebec, Canada, the pride of
George
Canada.
St. Pierre?
Yes, my hero and yours. Listen, that
George,
man can keep the fight standing.
I love GSP, but GSP's getting taken down, man.
No chance.
GSP is getting taken down by Khabib Nurmagomedov, bro. He is getting taken down.
What weight?
It doesn't matter. 170?
165? 165?
165. That's great. George St. Pierre versus Khabib Nurmagomedov would be the biggest fight that we've ever – we're going. You and I are going.
Oh, my God.
You're going to wear your Canadian shirt. You have to.
So I'll just be a total homer?
Yep. Oh, Canada. Yes. You know, yes. With Canada, I'm going to have the red, the blue, white, and red of Russia blasted across my shirt as Khabib walks to the octagon. Oh, Dagestan, Marina, Dagestan. You know this song he listens to?
No, it's a great song. Oh, the walkout. Yes.
Yeah, it's a great song, that Dagestan song.
It is nice.
It would be the biggest fight that the UFC seen in a long time.
Is this a bet right now? Are we betting on this right now?
Oh, we're definitely making a bet. GSP
fights Khabib within the next year, by next April, he will win.
You think so?
Yes.
You think GSP beats Khabib Nurmagomedov if they fight?
Yes. I was
certain
of it.
Even with the time away, you think George beats him?
I'm happy you said that. When he announced his retirement, not this February, last February, right? So a year and a half ago, I was like, oh, if they would have made this fight in May, there was no doubt in my mind. Now the time off, he's in great shape, right? I mean, you've seen him. He looks to be in great shape. I'm a little worried about the time off, but I really do think he has the skill set. You think you're taking down GSP at will like that?
This is the problem. You don't need to. Khabib doesn't need to take you down at will.
Who has better striking?
George St. Pierre.
Okay.
George St. Pierre has better striking.
If he can't take GSP down.
Wait, but that's the thing, though. It's not going to be if he can't take GSP down. He is taking GSP down. Like, I'm trying to explain to you. He is taking GSP down.
No.
Bro, he's taking GSP down. And once he gets him down, he's going to be stuck there. And that's where the problem arises.
You think GSP is going to be stuck on the ground? What? You've lost your mind now.
It's not Khabib. Khabib gets a takedown. It's once he takes you down, you're stuck. Bro, I remember I'm a heavyweight. I should not feel like, wow, this dude's strong when a 55-pounder grabs you. I remember being on the bottom of him, and I'm like, there's a video out. And I was like, okay, I'm getting up now, right? Because I was just like, I'm just going to get up. I'm just going to explode and get up. But then he was holding me there. So I had to try, like, really, really hard to get away from the dude. That should not be the case when he fights at 155. So I can only imagine what the guys that are under him feel like whenever he's grappling with them. It's nuts. You heard Dustin Poirier. He goes, I can't get him off of me. He's like, I can't get him off of me once he gets me down. Bro, he's so strong. It's crazy.
But there are levels to this game, right?
I understand. No, Poirier doesn't.
Not everyone's cut from the same cloth.
So Dustin's not on GSP's level.
Stop. Is that an unfair statement to make? George St. Pierre is the greatest fighter to ever fight.
George St. Pierre may be the greatest fighter of all time.
Yes.
Okay, so he's on a different level than most people.
Right.
he's about at the level of Khabib Nurmagomedov. Like okay. because I think Khabib Nurmagomedov, like you said, is the most dominant fighter the world has ever seen. Not just the UFC, the entire world. Like what he has done to people is insane.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely.
Yesterday when I put that video up of me beating the ratings adjuster, people were like, I wonder what this dude's gonna rate Khabib. 6 stars is what I'm gonna do. No, 5 is the most. Giving this dude an extra star. That when you go 28-0 and you don't make any mistakes, there's no hiccups, right? Like even for John Jones, who's undefeated. Well,
round 3 against Conor.
But even for John Jones, right? So when you're nitpicking rounds, like when you have to pick rounds.
I'm just doing that for the annoying losers.
But that's how crazy, though. Like, that's how crazy dominant.
I'm going to get like 15 DMs now.
You SOB. You know, but you don't. Like, here's the thing. Let's clear this up. You don't hate Khabib.
I love Khabib. I have no issues. No.
You've always praised Khabib. You praised Kamaru Usman to the moon after he defended his championship. You praised Gilbert Burns for how great he looked against Tyron Woodley. This whole narrative that you hate these guys is so ridiculous and absurd, it's crazy. So let's just put that out there right now. But at the end of the day, Khabib Nurmagomedov beats George St. Pierre in a fight, but first he has to get through Justin Gaethje.
Which is not going to be easy, right?
Let's not look past the great Justin Gaethje.
Okay, but if he gets by Justin Gaethje, which I don't think will be easy, which I think to date will be his toughest test, do you think the fight actually happens, GSP versus Khabib? Do you think
I think they try to make it happen.
Because the problem was, and I get it from the UFC's perspective, they didn't want GSP to fight him, potentially win, it could happen, and then walk away. Now you can't make money off the guy who just beat the undefeated Khabib. But if Khabib is going to come out and say, this is my retirement fight.
Might as well. Make the biggest fight possible. Make the biggest fight possible,
it
right?
Would be like nuts.
Dude, that would be crazy, right? I hope they have crowds for this one. Like, if
oh my god, it would
there's
be nuts.
Nothing better, right? There's nothing better than a fight like that with the crowd. As big as these fights, they're great with no crowd. I love it, but man, when you're in the arena and Conor walks out, and then Khabib walks, it's the most amazing thing in the world.
Yeah.
Even as an analyst. I was there when Weidman fought Anderson, and the anticipation was so thick that I'm up on the desk going crazy because I'm like a fan in that moment, you know? So there's nothing like it, and I hope there are fans if Khabib and GSP fight because that would be the most insane atmosphere ever.
If Khabib wins, you get the body shot. If GSP wins, I get 10.
I'm trying to collect more than that. That body shot's happening.
Regardless.
Well, you've been rolling around with that thing on your head like you've been boxing. Let's just do it, man.
Boxing. I had to take a break, though.
What happened?
Well, because of the COVID. I was legit secretly thinking about like one amateur fight. Just one. Just for fun.
Right.
Just to stick it to the haters.
Absolutely insane that you would think about fighting.
What amateur?
Against who?
I don't know. Some scrub. I'll find some guy.
Let me pick the opponent. I'll find you somebody to beat.
I'm good. I'm good.
I'll pick him up right at the local liquor store. I'll be, hey, man, I got this guy I want you to fight. You interested?
But now, of course, everything's been shut down. It's been a fortune. Anyway, I'm very excited about this. It's great to have him back. It's great to have the GSP stuff. I called GSP last week, and he had no idea. He had no idea about any of this. And I said, George, did you see this comment? Because Dana was asked about it, and he said, you know, he'll consider it if it's a retirement fight. And he kept saying, so in French, damn is mailed. Like kind of crap, you know, so he kept saying mailed Ariel just when I think I'm done they pull me back in. He said it. Not only that DC, I got insight into the mind of a genius, because then he started thinking, he's like, okay, my weight is this, I have to call my coach, I have to do this, I'm in good shape. He starts like talking to himself, and I'm like, wait a second, George, they're not offering you the fight, by the way. It's just like a thing. But like, it started to just go like 100 miles an hour in his mind.
Because he's a competitor, and he's great. And he's a competitor, and he's great. And when a challenge like that arises, he can't help but think about it. Like, oh, Khabib Nurmagomedov, now I'm interested. What else interests George St. Pierre?
This is it.
Nothing. This is it, right? So when it Mel. Nah, Mel. There he is. Mel. You know, he's melding. No, not
Mel. Mel with an R.
Meld.
You got to roll the R back. Meld. You're French. Call me
Wait,
in.
What are
You're
you saying?
French.
Mel or mer?
No, meld. M-E-R-D-E. Meld.
Merd. Like meld. Nerd. Merd.
Yeah.
Merd. Merd. He's merding all over the place. Just thinking about the fight. But, hey, that's exciting. Now, that's exciting. That's exciting that right away his mind went to, how do I prepare for this? Oh, that would be madness. George St. Pierre and Habib Nurmagomedov. I mean, whose name goes first on whose name's at the top of the marquee? Is it Habib versus GSP? Is if it's 165, that's not a weight class.
Yeah.
Is it GSP versus Habib? Who walks first? Does Habib walk first?
Or I think Habib would give him the respect to
I mean, who walks first? Who walks first?
I think Habib walks first, no?
I mean,
give respect to the
if it's at 165, that's not a weight class. The champ don't get to walk second if it's not a weight class. I mean, if it's at 165, I mean, on the arena, does it say GSP versus Habib?
Does that stuff really matter to you guys?
It matters.
It does?
Because A side, B side, yeah. Mayweather versus Pacquiao, Mayweather versus McGregor. Like, that stuff matters. And in a big-time event like that, you know, you got the legend, two-division champ, versus the undefeated guy, the most dominant of all time. Don't get me excited. I've gotten too excited about this potential fight now.
Okay, let's talk about another potential thing. Meld. We haven't talked a lot about Conor over the last few months, but he did emerge late last week, first tweeting, I accept, and then tweeting a day later in Filipino, he tweeted the same. I can't say that. Something with a KO at the end. And then so that got people thinking about Manny Pacquiao, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Let me just weigh in on this, if I can, very quickly about Conor. This has been an incredible spring/summer for the UFC, and it's not over yet, right? You're returning. We've got Izzy versus Costa in September. We've got, I mean, those three main events, pay-per-views, I mean, whoo, dream fights, right? This has been an incredible time, and they were one of the first sports leagues in the world to come back. Not too many, you know, positive tests, Fight Island, all that. I mean, even the biggest hater can't say anything right now, right? They're on fire. I mean, for God's sakes, they essentially carried ESPN for like 3 months when nothing else was going on, right? I mean, it's been incredible. But there's one blunder. There's one dark cloud over all of this, and it's Conor McGregor. It is a travesty that Conor McGregor is healthy, eager,
bro,
out of trouble.
Yeah,
and he isn't fighting. That this guy told us, remember late last year when he said, I'm going to fight three times in 2020, right? And of course, who could have predicted the pandemic, right? Who could have predicted this? But the fact that this guy can't get a fight and is trending in the direction of fighting once in 2020 and was for 40 seconds in January is a travesty. The fans aren't coming back. If you're waiting for the gate, it's not happening anytime soon. Get Conor a fight. Like, how is this happening? How is it happening that Conor McGregor has to even go down the road of a Manny Pacquiao or even flirt with it or anything like that? This is a big blunder, in my opinion. A massive
blunder. Let me tell you something, man. Initially, when we spoke about this, I told you. I was like, get him a fight. I agreed, right? I agreed. But then I found out that opportunities were offered, right? He just didn't necessarily like.
No replacement fighter.
No, that's the thing. He just didn't like. He just didn't like
a replacement fighter.
But he just didn't like the option. Well, dude, most people are like most because the reality is, he would have fought. If
I don't know about that because at the time I don't think people from Ireland could have come to Jacksonville in May.
Okay, well I didn't know that, but I'm saying the reality is he would have been Justin Gaethje, right? He would have been Justin Gaethje, but the reality is like. They want him to fight, but like, who does he fight?
There's no talks going on right now. It's screeching halt. Even Dana was asked about the Manny thing on Saturday, and he's like, I don't care about that. Like, how, like, whether you like it or not, biggest star in the sport, biggest star in the sport.
Well, the reality is, because of all the momentum the UFC has at this point, I think it's showing. Like,
as they don't need him.
We love to have you, but we'll keep rolling without you if we have to.
But he's not the one, he's not asking for more money. He doesn't need more money or anything.
But where though? Like, who's he fight? Like, I'm sure Conor McGregor could call and be like, I'll fight this dude.
Diaz.
If Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz decide they want to fight, you think the UFC wouldn't put that on? Right away they'd put that on.
Why aren't they trying?
I don't know.
Masvidal. Poirier. Ferguson.
I don't want him to fight Masvidal. I think Masvidal is a big dude, and his stand-up, it's Ferguson. Too much of a stand-up fight. I think that would be fun.
Well, okay, there are options. The idea that there are options.
I think I think there are chances. But again, we don't know what Conor's thinking. Like, you got to think, man. Like, when you're dealing with a guy at that level of stardom, you can't just send him a bout agreement with a name on it and expect him to just fight. He has a say in just about everything that he does. So you have to kind of get on the phone and talk to him and figure out what approach you guys are going to take. I think frustration on both sides. There's frustration from Conor's side. There's frustration from the UFC side.
I just don't get this. It's not like he's holding out. This isn't Masvidal or John Jones. It's not like he's playing hardball.
Hey, what is going on with John Jones? Like, I haven't heard – we haven't said anything about this for a month and a half now.
John is what you're talking about. They don't need John right now, right? They might call him in December, but they're booked all the way up until November at this point. So they don't need to even engage if he's being a problem. But here's the thing. Remember when Conor fought in January? He said, I'm ready to go in February or March.
He said he had a season. I'm going to fight my season. This is my season, my year.
And now here we are in August, and the guy doesn't have anything on the books, and it's looking like he's got nothing. So I just don't understand how he got to this point, because you are wasting a Conor McGregor who is out of trouble. Like, let's give credit where it's due.
Yep.
Horrible 2019. He's done nothing wrong, you know, as far as publicly in 2020, right? Mm-hmm. Stay out of trouble.
Yep.
Helped his community. Seems healthy. Seems in shape. Has done everything that's been asked of him as the star. And you can't get him a fight. I can't wrap my head around this. How can
I don't understand. I mean, again, like I said, I don't understand why, but I think that when, again, we're just guessing, right? We're always guessing about the way this business works. And I think when you deal with a star like Conor McGregor, everything has to be the right way. You don't just send him a bout agreement and say, here, this is who you're fighting.
Of course.
You got to, like,
let's talk
figure
it out.
Out who he's willing to fight. And I think at a point they will do that. But right now it's like, you can't, you know, maybe November, you know, like Conor's not going to fight. This is the thing. Conor's not going to fight on, he wouldn't have fought on my card. He wouldn't have fought on the card in Costa Romero.
Sure.
He wouldn't fight on Habib's card. Like, he's not fighting as a pay-per-view with anyone else.
Okay. I'm happy you brought that up. The same rules don't apply anymore. You know why? Because before, the UFC had to book venues, dates, and stuff. They could make a pay-per-view next week if they want. Like, just put it on ESPN.
So just add a pay-per-view.
Why not? It's Conor McGregor. You think anyone's saying no to that? If Conor would have fought on that July 11th card and no other title fights, they would have gone 2 million pay-per-view buys because there was nothing going on. You saw what Usman and Masvidal did. They would have gone 2 million on ESPN Plus pay-per-view.
Yes, they would have.
How are we turning this down?
No, I mean, I don't know. But again, we don't know the inner workings as to what's going on. You know, there's got to be more to it than
You think I am just talking just to talk right now? Or you think, you know?
So you know stuff. Listen, so why aren't you sharing?
I'm sharing with you right now.
I sure don't know what's going on the inside. Like, I really don't know what's going on the inside.
Listen, I don't talk just to talk.
You kind of do, actually. That's like your thing.
It's all educated.
Oh, so you're essentially delivering Conor's message, like, give me a fight?
I think he delivered his own message, right? I think he delivered his own message. Can we get this guy a fight? And if not, do you want to see him versus Manny Pacquiao?
I want to see him fight. I just want to see Conor McGregor fight.
Do you care about that fight?
I just want to. Here's my thing. Manny Pacquiao, I think it's a very dangerous fight because he won't start slow like Floyd Mayweather. He'll try to just beat him up. And I don't know if Conor has the ability to fight a Manny Pacquiao. Dude's dangerous.
The point is, do you even care to see Conor box anymore? Like, we saw it once.
I want
to
see Conor fight in the octagon. That's where I want to see
him fight. What he's best
at. Yes, what he's best at. We all respect the star power to go to boxing and sell a ton of pay-per-view. But I want to see him fight where he's good at, where he's the best. And that's in mixed martial arts. I want to see him fight. I think everybody wants to see Conor fight. I don't disagree that we want to see Conor McGregor fight. I just think that we have to find the right fight for Conor McGregor.
I just named you like four.
Which one would you pick of the four?
I've long said the Diaz.
I mean, the
fight,
Diaz trilogy sells itself. Layup. That's the one.
By the way, can you imagine the Diaz trilogy in an empty arena?
These dudes talking to each other in there.
Oh, it'd be incredible.
It'd be great.
It would
it'd
get 2 million. 2 million. Easy.
It would do
layup.
2 million. But well, whenever Conor fights, it's going to sell 2 million.
But even now, with like people start, like all the ratings are up for everything, right? Because people missed it so much. It's like it gives me a headache to think that they're not even talking. It seems like there's bad blood. I don't get it. It's like, yeah, sure. Has he been a pain at times for them? Yeah, sure. But like at the end of the day, he always draws well.
And he always delivers.
And it's not like I'm trying to shoehorn something here. The guy is healthy and ready to go. Like, what's the problem? I don't get. Are we? And if we're waiting for the gate, then fine. But like, the company seems to be rolling along, right? You're fighting. I'm sure they wanted you to fight in front of a crowd. It would have been great in San Francisco. I'm sure they wanted Khabib to fight in front of a crowd. Why is he the only one that's on the island? That's the part. Is it because he makes that much more?
He makes way more than the rest of us at the gate. Yeah. It's not even comparable.
Like, he doesn't get a piece of the gate. They just they recoup.
Yeah, that's
some,
just
right?
another source of revenue for the company. But like, he makes way more than the rest of us at the gate. Like, than anybody. It's like double.
Yeah,
it's like double, triple. Most athletes. So there is loss, but you're right. I would love to see him. I'd love to see Conor fight. I hope that he comes back soon.
I spoke to Ferguson last week. He was in great spirits. I haven't heard him sound like this in a really long time.
Is he healthy?
He's healthy. He wants to fight in October, he said. Maybe that same card as Khabib, which would be fascinating. Mentioned two names that he thinks makes the most sense, Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor. Of those two, which do you like best for him?
Man. I think Conor, him and Conor, because of the importance of the fight, being that whoever wins can get a title fight, put Tony right back where he wants to be, right? Because he deserves it. He had won so many fights in a row, never got his actual shot.
I agree.
Conor beats a Tony Ferguson that put two fights in a row after losing to Khabib. You say, well, he's warrants another title fight. Also, the fact that they both used to be managed by the same guy, and Tony always felt like it was, you know, Conor was always the golden, you know, goose and all this other stuff. It's just the story writes itself. And also, because I don't want to see Dustin Poirier fight Tony Ferguson right now as a friend, just because I don't want him to be in another one of those wars like that. It's like I would prefer him get in there and fight somebody else that. The matchup's not as brutal as some of these fights that he's been in over the course of the last couple of years.
I think we have a better chance of seeing Poirier versus Ferguson. I think we will see him in the fall time, and I think that that's going to be the easier fight to make, right? Because there's all these issues with Conor and whatnot and whatnot. So I think that that's probably. I think if you can figure out a way of putting that on the Khabib card, like you've got the backup fight, right, and it could be a number one contender fight as well.
Yeah, Ferguson, for sure.
By the way, what's that? Have you ever seen that picture people post this all? You picture, don't know what I'm going to bring up, do you?
No, what picture, man? What are you talking about?
Every time something good happens online, like on Twitter, MMA related, people always post this picture. I think I sent it to Corporate Jake. If you have it, can you please show it? Of you.
What is
you,
it, man?
Of you in bed, like shirtless, and you're looking at a phone. And you've got a smile. Do you know the picture I'm talking about?
It's me on the phone. Like, what
are you looking at?
I have no idea, man. I was cutting weight, so it obviously was something good because I was smiling. Where does this stuff start, though? Like, where does all this stuff start, man?
Because I pulled up the tweet from Conor, the I accept tweet, and like one of the top replies is you in bed.
You know what's so funny about that? Like, there's that picture, but then there's the same picture, like Khabib standing right next to the, like sitting right on the bed or something, like looking at me in the phone screen. We were looking at something together. Like, I don't know where that picture is, but it's like he's in that picture. They must have kind of cropped him out or something.
Oh, my. In the one where you're lying down?
Yeah, I'm like laying in bed, and he's like, he's sitting on the bed next to me. We're looking at something on my phone.
I feel like that's Photoshop.
No, there are
more. Do you remember
him
being there that day?
I do, because it was in it was in Boston. It was in Boston when I fought Volkan. I'm serious.
It was in Boston. You don't remember what you were looking at, though?
I don't remember what I was. It was something good.
Yeah.
It had to be something appropriate because I wouldn't be showing Khabib anything like nasty. So it's like, it had to be something appropriate.
You see it pop up as well?
All the time. I get it from my parents on the wrestling team. It's like when you look at your kid's coach as a meme on the internet everywhere.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, what am I looking at? Like, what's so funny and amusing and stupid? I wish people would just leave me alone with these memes, man, because there's a lot of them. Like, there are a lot of memes of me. One, the crying one. The crying one is just like everywhere.
Yeah.
It's funny at this point. Now this one has popped up. You know,
one of my favorites. Oh, go ahead.
They photoshopped me holding that towel. Like, I don't know how they make that thing look so real.
Yeah, but
Like, it's all these things. Like, they make these memes of me, man.
One of my favorites is from the split screen with Jones when you're like, like that one, the laughing one.
That was a good one, too. That was the one when I was laughing?
Yes.
It was because he's, you know why? He had said, He had said fought. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, bro. It's so crazy. I had never heard anything like it in my life, bro. He said, I fought Vitor Belfort. I fought this guy and I fought this guy. And I was like, what? I couldn't believe what I was hearing, bro. Like, I was like, what? Then finally I was like, yo, just because you say something so much, you cannot make it a word in the English dictionary, dog. You can't say like fought so many times. He kept saying fought. And I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's like when you said Reddit.
I did not say Reddit.
Yeah, you said you read it.
No, I said you just read it. Like you just read it.
You read it. Like you're doing past tense for instead of saying read, you said you read it the wrong thing.
No, I didn't. Yes, I said every time
the Todd Duffy thing. You said read it.
No matter what you do, no matter what you do, no matter what's on the screen, I said. No, I said, yeah, and you just read it. Like, you just read it. Like, you just read it like that.
A lot of people thought you said Reddit.
No, you just read it like that. Like, you said every time I look on Wikipedia, they put Todd Duffy versus John Volante. And I go, yeah, and you just read it like that. Like, you just read it that way.
A lot of people said otherwise. That's all.
Yeah, because people are stupid, and they probably think Fawton is a word in the dictionary. So
why does the light keep coming out of your window like that?
Because it's that See, that's why I needed my piece of tape, dog. It's like swaying. It's now swaying somehow. The air conditioner's on.
Okay, let's round third here very quickly. One last thing I wanted to ask you about. True or false, you're down to see Max Holloway versus Alexander Volkanovski 3.
True. I'd watch it.
Really?
Partially biased because Max is my buddy. But the reality is I can understand why Alexander Volkanovski is like, let me fight somebody different.
Yeah, come on, man. Poor guy.
I'll watch it again, but – I don't have a problem with, you know, Volkanovski fighting someone else and Max fighting a Calvin Kattar and then getting another title shot. But I as a friend of Max Holloway, would like to see the third fight. But I don't have a problem with Volkanovski going, you know what, man, come on. Like, seriously.
What?
Judges scored it for me.
Sure. Yeah. Let's move on. I mean, the funny thing is that you can justify the third fight after the second because it was so close. Less so after the first, and they gave it to him after they gave him the rematch after the first. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
The first fight was pretty close too.
Yeah.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
A few shout outs before we go here. I want to give a shout out, by the way, to Lucas Brown. Did you see this tweet from Lucas Brown? Yeah, I saw
that. That's crazy. I've never seen that picture before.
Unbelievable. You really beat this guy up.
I was scared of him, Ariel. You know, they said when you do, he was so big. But they say when you're afraid, you're able to do some real damage. So I just was afraid.
This is early in the day. This is a world champion boxer that you fought back in the day.
Very early, too. Like, I had only fought like 3 times in my career.
Unbelievable. So shout out to him for sharing that with us all these years later. Wanted to give a shout out to Bobby Green. Bobby Green has really evolved into a very thoughtful young man. You know, a little rough around the edges early on. He was very adversarial to the media, to other people. Now he keeps coming back and fighting on these cards and like uplifting the world, talking about his kids, and just seems to be in a great place. Maybe the spitting was a little bit not very smart for COVID.
It was awesome. It was Triple H, right? It was Triple H. The cerebral assassin. Poof, It was beautiful.
A lot of germs, no?
It was awesome. I liked it. It's his thing. He does it all the time. He does it when he flips into the octagon. He does it. It's great. It was awesome.
It's COVID. Chill. Anyway, chill. Bobby Green. Shout out to Bobby Green. Vicente Luque. Yes.
He's clean. Bobby Green's clean. So there is no COVID being spread with that. So you're fine.
Fair enough. Vicente Luque with the big win. Wants to fight Nathan Diaz. How about that?
That's a great fight. Vicente Luque is really coming into his own. He looked phenomenal against Randy Brown, and he's looked phenomenal the last few times we've seen him. You know, dude's as good as they come now.
No chance Nate takes that fight. But
no, Nate won't fight Vicente Luque. Those days are gone, right? Like, those days are gone. Like, that, you know, I love that these guys take their shots, but Conor's not just fighting anybody, and Nate Diaz is not just fighting anybody. These guys get to a level where only big fights, it gets them interested. And just like George St. Pierre, everybody calls George St. Pierre. George St. Pierre won't fight Kamaru Usman, but he will fight a Khabib Nurmagomedov. Only those types of things interest those guys.
Actually, I'm surprised more people don't call it Nate just because he's a big name. But, hey, you got to shoot your shot. Why not? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tanner Boser, who's coming back to fight Andrei Arlovsky on October 3rd. The big Canadian keeps on ticking, baby.
He just keeps fighting. He just keeps fighting every time. And, again, now he's at that spot, right, where you get that name, that recognizable name that will either propel you forward or will put you back, you know, take a step back to that prospect type of level. So let's see if Tanner handles it better than Edmund Shabazian did last weekend.
Mike Perry posted an apology on his social media. It's been a rough couple of weeks for him with that video that emerged, some accusations from his ex-wife. So we'll see where Mike goes from here.
But now things are looking better for Mike. And, you know, he's having a baby.
Yes.
Right? He had an announcement of his baby. He's having a boy. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though he's starting to see things a little more clearly. And maybe the expectation of his first kid is the thing that's going to allow for him to start to really do things the way that he wants to do and start to lay the foundation and the groundwork for raising a young man in this society.
Should have said this at the top of the show, but shout out to everyone in Canada celebrating Civic Day today. It's a national holiday in Canada.
Oh my gosh. Another one. Bro, what in the world? It's
Civic Day.
Another holiday.
Yes.
Yep. Let me tell you something, man. We have not been doing this much. We haven't been doing this too long. And there's been about 7 Canadian holidays, man.
That's right.
Y'all got to stop making up holidays. This is crazy, man. Civic Day. National Canada Day.
We had Victoria Day.
Victorian Day. The Independence Day, whatever that one was called. Yeah. Like, how many holidays do y'all have, man? We got more
coming up, too. We've got Family Day coming up.
Family Day.
That's a good one.
Man, don't ever, let me tell you something. If we're on this show on Family Day, do not say Happy Family Day. I'm telling you. I'm cutting it off, man. At some point, I got to cut it off. I cannot allow you to keep making up holidays, man. I cannot allow you to keep making up holidays.
And shout out to you, DC. This is it. What? The stretch drive.
Yeah, it's over.
What be? So people have been asking me if you're going to do the show next week. It's going to be a little different.
We're going to do an interview style show. Now we'll do an interview. What we go back?
It'll just
to
be
the
classic Monday.
Classic Monday. Every time I did a media tour, I always made sure I talked to my boy Helwani, and we're going to do it in that way next week. So it's good.
We might have an old friend of yours help us out on the back end, though.
Who?
You know, just to help us out on the back end to talk about the nitty gritty.
Who?
Like, we'll do the interview, but then an old friend will tag you out.
Who?
You don't know who? They didn't tell you?
No. Tell me. I have a say in this because I will burn. If it's somebody I don't choose, I'll burn this whole thing to the ground right now. I'm telling you, it better be an acceptable choice. Or I will burn it down. I will burn it down.
There's a whole lot of dinging going on.
Who's coming in?
We love the funk.
Yeah. Askren?
We love the funk.
Wait, so Askren's doing the show with you?
When you leave, he will tag in to talk about the news and notes of the week. Because we don't want to keep you around for an hour and a half or so. So Askren has been tagged in. We love the funk. We love the funk. Are you okay with this?
We want the funk. Yeah, I love Askren. Hey, I love Ben Askren. Ben Askren works. He can definitely DC. It can still be DC and Helwani.
Oh, yeah. You're still a part of
better
it.
DJing. But
I'm just not going to be asking you to break down Derek Lewis versus Alexi Olenek next
Maybe week. I'll have Ben Askren be my replacement when I go on vacations and stuff.
Oh, so, what are you talking about?
You better be careful because I will burn it down. You know what I'm saying, Ariel? You got to watch me.
You've got nine jobs. Jealous. I've got one. So it's a little.
Hey, Ariel, I'm very jealous. You remember that time when I was seeing you every day? I saw you with somebody else on ESPN. I was like, hey, man, you better calm down. This is getting crazy.
Well, I can't believe it. It's going to be here fight week. For now, though, I do believe we are out of time. DC, have a great final week of training. If you need anything from me, I'll be here in this same room. I don't go many places. And
Ariel, seriously, I love this view of you. I love the pictures in the back.
Thank you.
I love the flags. It's nice, right?
I love your view as well.
Thank That's you, dog. I love the backdrops. The backdrops are awesome. They're great.
It's good. Changes every week. It's a beautiful thing. Keeps me guessing on my toes. Anyway, thank you to everyone who continues to support us and support DC on his road to that fight August 15th. Thank you to the crew, TST, Corporate Jake, Sean, everyone back there. And thank you to everyone who continues to rate, subscribe, review, and download the podcast each and every week. We love you as well. We're out of time. DC, Helwani, peace. We're out of here.